I was just telling Christy, well, I don't have to tell Christy anything. I sent Christy a text message last night. It was a series of words. I don't think I put it up on our Instagram.
We will put it up today because I almost put it up yesterday, and then I was like, we're going to talk about this on the podcast. It's going up.
I had my glasses on. I wasn't drunk.
I'm going to read this for people to understand because I get a text.
It's 6 p.m. So I'm.
It's 5:26. 5:26 Eastern time. I get a text message from Leah that says, "What does staple mean?" Like STAPLE. What does staple mean? And I'm like, and then she said, "I just saw my first Broncos hate in a deli that she was at, but it had staple on it." And I, looking at this text, going, "How do you see a Broncos hate? Did somebody graffiti like anger towards the Broncos in Charlotte?" And then also it says staple.
I'm feeling frustrated because she's not answering me the way that I want her to answer, which is to tell me what it means.
So I said, "I'm so confused. Something said staple." And this is where it gets really good. It's a hate, horse, Bronco, hat. Those are all separate messages. It's a hate, new message, horse, new message, Bronco. New message in all caps, hat. I'm like, they called a horse staple?
It's when I get frustrated. You could, I'm like rapid fire because I wanted her to answer me fast.
And I knew, I was like, Leah's mad that I don't just immediately know this, but this makes no sense.
I was so excited that I'd seen a Broncos hat in Charlotte, which I have never seen one time in my life. I have not seen one, and I saw one, but it had the word staple underneath it, and I think the text is pretty clear.
Hate horse Bronco hat.
I was just like, it's a horse hat. Stuart was like, what are you talking about? I said the Bronco, that horse. Apparently I just kept yelling the horse.
the horse.
They're horses. They're horses.
It turns out it's a men's fashion brand that you can get any NFL team that hat or whatever that says staple on it, which I also was like, why would you want a Bronco
it
hat?
So big. It looked like the logo.
It looks important. It looks like it should be associate it, but no, you can get all of the teams with the word staple.
It had the horse head on. So I knew it was y'all. The staple did throw me off, clearly. To the point where I just was like, oh, and then I was going to stalk this guy when he came out of the bathroom, so hold on.
He didn't.
He didn't come out for a while, so. But yeah, I think, and then Stuart read it, and I was like, she's not understanding what I'm saying. And then he was like, Leah, nobody is understanding. I think it's because Christy and I are so close that I just think if I say, like, words at her, like, she does speak Leah very well.
I translate well.
I'm a bad texter.
Yeah.
For multiple reasons. One is that I need glasses, of course, and if they're not there, I'm still going to text, but I text the wrong words. But also, I text kind of fast. I'm fast. I don't typically have my phone on me all the time or ever, so I just text it really fast because I want the information to go to the person.
Yeah.
And then
it just gets, worse. I mean, after hate horse Bronco hat.
The way it's now. Stuart immediately made fun of me about that.
It's going to be a new hashtag for us. It was like, they called a horse staple. Because now I'm thinking, like, is the horse named Staple somehow? Because that's not what our horses' names are. You said under is the word staple on the hat. He is in the bathroom. I'll stalk him.
Then I looked right after that, and I had texted in another girls' chat that we're in. I'm the queen of the gay mafia, and I never want to be a citizen. This is in reference to the Traitors TV show.
Yeah.
I said, I'm the queen of the gay mafia, and I never want to be a citizen. I always want to be Maria. 50 minutes after that, when nobody responded to me, I said mafia. And I said, I'm taking my own phone away.
So, because I've never played Mafia.
I always want to be Maria.
Assumed that there was a character named Maria that I just didn't know about. I was like, I didn't know the characters had names.
They don't. It's like traitors. You're either a faithful or a traitor. You're either Mafia or a citizen, but I always want to be Maria, so it's...
Maria. Hate horse bronco hat.
Gosh. So, yeah, I was so thirsty that when my brain checks out, I have, two modes, which is, on or off. So, if I'm on, then it's, I'm, on, I'm teaching, I'm writing, yeah. I'm doing. And then when it's off, I'm, the dumbest person that's ever lived.
It's funny because, you make fun of me and Stuart for being ADHD because we are never one mode, right? It's chaos swirls in our head. But, it's so drastic because you can be very on or you are,
I'm stupid.
Completely off.
Battle lobotomy.
And it's really, it can be kind of like whiplash. I don't know what's happening because most of the time you send,
I don't know if what you're about to say is true.
Legible texts where I can at least be there's a small typo or something. We all do that. We all have some kind of typo or something in our text message. But most of the time I can oh, that means that instead. you were just kept.
She sent it to her friend, Jen.
I did. I sent it to my friend. Because she lives in Aurora, but I was like, did I miss something? Is there a new mascot called Staple?
That was a question. Because it was so large. It was bigger than the head of the sword. I was trying to say.
Really big.
And I was like, that was what I was trying to express there. And clearly.
Yeah. And I kept thinking, so there's also, there's a, I guess, suburb. Kind of city-ish thing next to Denver called Stapleton. And I kept thinking, is it to do with Stapleton? But, why would they just say Staple? that you go down these, rabbit holes of, trying to figure out.
I appreciate the time and energy that you spent trying to decipher what I was saying.
Yeah.
Because in the end, I was like, I gave it to Stuart, who was across from me, and said, I was trying to tell her about the hat. And he read it, and he just cackled. He was a big, emotional expressor, but he just flashed me. He just was oh my gosh.
He's like, no one can discern what you're saying right now.
He was like, the greatest. I apparently just kept shouting, Christy usually knows what I'm saying. And then I tried to say,
I want to stress that it was 5:30. Y'all were not, this is not a late night.
It wasn't a drunk text at all.
Drunk text. This was just.
We were on our way, but we weren't there yet. We hadn't reached our destination.
So amazing. I love, it was so funny.
I just kept trying to tell Stuart as well that I was like, no, Christy gets it because, she's really close to me and she understands. And I'm telling this to Stuart, who didn't understand it at all. I said, no, she'll get it.
I did not get it.
I am your husband, and I live with you. I have been your husband for longer than you've been friends with Christy.
Of the two of us, Stuart is definitely the one who would definitely know if it was knowable. I did figure it out.
I was like, well, clearly you don't get it, but you're a boy.
Because you're a boy. You're a boy, and you don't know football.
Right. Right. Understand any of this sports
you don't know or anything about the NFL.
You don't know about horse hates.
Horse hates.
It's a horse. I like that I corrected horse with Bronco. That's gonna actually.
I know. That part too. I was like, I know the horse. That part I'm familiar.
I like that. I thought that was the confusing bit.
I was confused about
that. That was really leading you down the wrong path.
Just could not sort out that horse part. Oh my god.
Well, so guys, in other news, we've been prepping for the snowpocalypse up here.
Just need you to know how long I sat here.
And then I reread it, by the way, because I just gave my phone, look, I reread it, and then I started, hysterically laughing, because I was like, oh, it's not clear at all.
Oh my god, I just cried so much. Oh, okay.
Find that, huh?
Welcome to Theology on the Rocks.
Theology on the Rocks, where we are as we say we are.
New name, 8-horse Bronco hat.
8-horse Bronco. Also, if you could have known the level of excitement. Christy always thinks I'm making fun of her sports teams, which sometimes I am, but if they're playing mine. But like, this one wasn't. I was, Stuart will tell you, I was thrilled.
I was
trying to take a picture of it. I was so excited because you see, my town, Charlotte, is overrun with people from Ohio and people from upstate New York. So the Bills, like, mafia is strong in Charlotte. Yeah. They are, like, everywhere.
Which, again, you telling me that you saw your first hate was so confusing because I was like, there are so many Bills fans there.
Typically just, like, leave graffiti. Charlotte's really graffiti city that way. Like, really? I hate that horse.
I'm so mad about Denver. I'm going to graffiti it in an unrelated city.
Right. On the side of a deli. No. In case anybody happens, nobody is from Colorado here because it's basically southern Colorado. So why would they be here?
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, no, it's funny. Yeah, I there's no real feelings towards the Broncos in any way, shape, or form. So I got so excited and thrilled. And
then it was
nothing. It was confusion. And then the guy would not come out of the bathroom for me to take a picture. And then when he does come out, he's, whatever situation happened in that bathroom, he's flipped the cap to the front. So he had it.
So now you have to, he would know that you were taking a picture of his hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which
is a really complicated situation, Chris.
It's okay because before he came out of the bathroom, I solved the riddle by Googled
some words that came out of
Broncos staple hat. And then I was like, is this it?
It was just so big. It would be like it is a Braves hat and the A was up here, but then it just said staple.
I mean, I'm going to say this real genuinely. It's the most confusing hat. Staple is bigger than the Bronco part, and it's like you're advertising something, but I don't know that you know what. But maybe we're just not up on menswear lines, apparently.
I suppose not. We have definitely gotten enough, said the word staple enough to where they should sponsor us.
They should sponsor us. Oh my god.
But then I was telling Christy before we got on, is like, my Christy and Stuart both have ADHD, but their personalities are typically like the same, like throughout life.
Yeah.
And I have a thing where like if something happens or like I'm not working or whatever, is like it is on or off. Like that, but I was telling Christy, when my brain is off, I'm a very dumb person. I lose the ability to do the most menial tasks. And I mean this. Like it, if you're talking to me and you're like, oh my god, she's joking about like boobs or something, it's a good sign because it means that I'm church mode, you know. So unfortunately at that stage, because the snow is coming, I have decided to check out early.
Yeah, you were like,
and I was gone.
Snow day coming. I mean, how many inches are you actually predicted? Or do they not know?
It's like that guy, I don't know if you saw him on my Instagram, that he's like, I don't know. They just keep telling us, they're like, well, it was supposed to start today. And now they're like, no, probably tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then it was supposed to be snow, and then it's now ice. But ice is worse for us because
ice is worse for everybody. I hate ice.
Yeah. So I don't even think it's gonna be snow. I think it's gonna be, if it's anything, I think it'll be ice. We just have all of our, I told Stuart, because you would think Stuart being from Scotland would be like super prepped for like snow days, but actually it doesn't snow hardly at all.
It does not.
Scotland, really? Mm. It's a weird weather purgatory over there. Yeah. So I just said we need to charge our blocks because the electricity is the big issue for us. Is if the electricity goes out, they I shouldn't say that. I just said it. Anyway, our energy providers are not always the quickest.
Yeah.
And you know, it just takes forever. So that's part of the issue is that, so if I just quit texting you at all, you know, I've either lost my phone.
I'll text Sharon. Did she die?
I love you're not even texting Stuart. You're texting my friend Sharon. Which is also, poor Stuart. Sharon would know. She'd be my last, I'd be like, come take care of the cats. We're out. Oh, and 0%. He'll just eat us, though. He wouldn't think about it too much. But yeah, so this, I don't know. It's been, basically the power is, like I said, the big issue.
The power is
really annoying. Yeah. So we're charging all of our power blocks right now.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, it's hot here. I'm not even bragging. It's really, it went from
it's a brag to me. I like the heat.
Kind of, it's a brag to you, but like it went from a kind of like mild week to like all of a sudden it's like 80. But I looked at the weather map and the like cold front just goes like this. Like it's avoiding Florida on purpose. It's like, no Florida. So
snowman that's going across, but it can't go there. It'll start melting.
Yeah. It was like actively avoiding Florida. But then it's supposed to be in the 50s next week, which for Florida, people get real freaked out about. So next week, I'm sure I'll be like, everybody here is freezing. Not.
Okay. And I wore flip-flops to go get my snow supplies. Which, by the way, Stuart sent me, and I put a picture up. However, it should be known, I was sent to go get supplies. And people in the South, it is a joke, but we are very bad at this part of the thing. If it's a hurricane, we act like we're still going out. We're going to concerts. We're living the dream. You could be in a building and the hurricane just take you away and you'd still be listening to music. Now, the snow, though, not so much. So everybody's buying stuff. And so I go and I look around and I grab a loaf of bread because there's like one left. And then we don't drink milk anyway, so that's dumb. We bought a big old thing of toilet paper, so we're good. So then I just start buying boxes of wine.
My favorite thing is that you only have two things of soup.
Felt like the right thing to do. I don't know.
Like, apparently your snowstorm is lasting for a singular day.
Yes. How much faith I have that we're actually going to get snow.
Yeah.
And that it'll stick around. Again, keep in mind, it was 50 that day. It was actually 54, I think, was what temperature it was or something, because I screenshotted it and sent it to y'all. And so it's not cold enough here.
It's not cold enough.
Yeah. Maybe in the mountains, or like my mom, by the way, who lives on Lookout Mountain in Appalachia, foothills of Appalachia. She was like, ABC's in Charlotte. And I was like, I think y'all are going to get it much worse than that. I can walk down the street to a 7-Eleven.
This is like when I was in Asheville for New Year and it was in the 30s. And I was like, I did not expect this. And nor did anyone else, because when I went to buy the coat I had to purchase, I was not the first one. She immediately was like, you're going to wear this out, right? Do you want me to cut the tags off? And I was like, yes, ma'am.
Well, there are like, I got a big long story. When I was in Europe for a friend's wedding, I got stranded. Anyway, I love my jacket is the summary of the story. I love this jacket. But it's in Edinburgh, Scotland right now. And my friend Ellen was like, do you want me to ship it to you? And I was like, no, I'll just get it the next time. And that is our approach to coats. I'm just like, well, and do I know the next time I'm going to Scotland?
But you'll need it there.
I'll pick it up.
Yeah.
I have a jet. I don't have to pack it. I already have one.
Right. I was like, regardless of what time of year it is, you'll need it there. So you might as well just leave it. This is why I leave my winter coats in Colorado, which is part of why I didn't have one for Asheville. But I'm like, I don't need them here. But
mountains do get colder. I mean, the foothills. Chris was in the heat front of our mountains the other day. Nothing she can say. We make fun of ourselves far worse than anything she can say. Do I think that our mountains are the Rockies? No, clearly not. But the elevation says that it's higher. So
it is higher than where you live. Yes. Yeah. That's fine.
I don't live in the mountains.
No. Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. It is higher.
It was mocking us relentless, listeners in North Carolina. It was relentless.
One of the first things, when I walked into the hotel room, my friend Jamie, who's also from Colorado, had flown out for this. She goes, "Christy, do you know that they think this is a mountain town?" And then the two of us just burst into laughter for another, like, 5 minutes. And it was a great moment. It's a great moment.
Real condescending and rude. And we do think it's a mountain town. I think I consider anything a mountain town that has, like, places with fireplaces. That's where my mountain town goes. Also, I have
it's
seen.
Sweet. It's sweet. It's real cute.
It is super cute. I said, we know the Rockies exist, but, like, they don't exist down here.
They so don't.
This is what we've got.
It's okay. Your mountains are haunted.
Should we call it hills? Do you want me to call it a hill town?
I don't know. They need another word. They need a word that's in between.
A mound town? That sounds sexual.
Yeah, that sounds sexual. Yeah, it sounds weird. Oh, I don't know.
I kind of like a mound town.
It's a mound town. It does feel like we're saying mountain with, like, a really terrible accent.
Mound town. It does take, like, an hour to get up to my parents' house, so they maybe are more on a larger mound than perhaps you were at in Nashville.
I will say I have been to parts like Gatlinburg is more mountainy than Asheville was.
I wouldn't say Asheville's actually a mountain town.
Asheville was like barely mountain. Like it was barely. And I was a bit disappointed because when we went to Gatlinburg a few years ago, I was like, these are really pretty. Like they are smaller, but they're really pretty. And like they do look like mountains. And then when I got to Asheville, I was like, this is a hill.
Not a mountain. To get from Chattanooga to my parents' house is an hour. So, like, it'll take you an hour to go up the mountain. Mm. And that's
reasonable. Yeah.
And it's twisty, turvy, whatever. Mm. Like, again, not as hot. I think ours are older.
They are older. That's why they're smaller.
Okay. I was really oldest child.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was real or not. And I'm glad it is.
It is real, but yeah. No, but it's why they're smaller.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. This I can't do any of this. All of this situation is too snow.
So Leah said to me when we were like talking about what we were gonna drink and stuff, I was like, "What do you want to do for?" And she said, "Let's do our go to snow drink."
Yeah.
Which I'm curious what your go to snow drink is.
Wine?
Is it just wine?
Yeah. Did you see my purchase? I have two boxes of wine because I couldn't figure out if I wanted white or red. And
I mean,
two soups and a
two soups
bread and a Red Bull pack.
Really terrible snow prep.
That is what's going to keep me alive. Well, it's different when you live in the city. I could just walk down. I said deli is walkable. Christy and I walked there.
And no, it's so true. But you remember Snowpocalypse in Glasgow? You were still there, yeah. Because when Snowpocalypse hit Glasgow, and I mean, that is also a city, and I could walk to the grocery store, but the grocery store had nothing. They had no bread. The only milk they had was Jersey milk, which is just heavy cream.
I did buy milk the other day, and Stuart was like, "Well, we have milk," and then we looked at it, and it was buttermilk. I'd actually accidentally bought buttermilk. You can make biscuits, maybe.
That's fantastic.
That's why you don't send me to the grocery. Chris, you've been shopping with me. Don't do that. First of all, I get really bored really fast at the grocery store. I'm not one of those people. I don't like cooking. It's not my thing. So I just want it to be over really fast.
Yeah.
Which means I just grab stuff and I don't really like look at it.
I'm the same way. I get panic attacks in grocery stores. And so I try to get in and out as quickly as possible. But I'll like go in and I'll just like grab three things, never the things on my list, never useful. It's just like whatever's closest. And then I leave and I get in my car and I like realize that I've done nothing productive and I still need food. So
also today I woke up and I wanted the soup that I had bought. And Stuart was like, "You've got to wait because
you have to wait because you only bought the one."
You brought us one each. Like, why did I get more than one? So I was like really desperate to eat it. And then I just got sad. So, and meanwhile, it's still, I mean, right now it's it's so we're just like waiting for supposed impending doom, and it's 50. So, you know,
it's gonna be terrible for you.
We're gonna really struggle. We're gonna be eating those soups for days.
Ration them out. Yeah,
I know. Not, and that the assumption being that we don't have 4,000 other things in our refrigerator right now.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well,
we lose our minds, but it's kind of fun. So, like, if you listen to the podcast, me, Will, Rose, Trip Fuller, we're all in North Carolina, so we're all probably gonna die. And then
I'm more worried about
systematic geekologists live in South Carolina, so they're probably also gonna die. So your podcast team is gonna be looking pretty sparse.
It's gonna be me.
It's gonna be Christy. Ryan and
Ryan Doze is a good Midwestern boy, so he knows how to handle snow. He'll be fine.
So, but you, Nick, and Ryan Doze will be Nick Polk. So you'll just be talking about Tolkien and theology and horror movies. What a combo of podcasts.
Yeah, like, I have no input on any of this.
The rest of us will just be...
going to be bleak, guys.
Nailed off to Valhalla. On a frozen ship. Yeah, I mean, and then a lot of people live in California. You could hook up with some of the California.
Yeah.
Sarah probably. And Siri, I think, are out.
I'll do that. I'll reach out to the California.
No offense, Nick and Ryan, but Josh Patterson is in Baltimore, but I don't even know if it's supposed to get hit. Do we know?
I didn't look. I'm sorry, Josh.
Christy, you should hear about your friends, weather.com.
You didn't know either.
I sure didn't. Oh no! Dang, it's actually a really.
I mean, it's a considerable
amount. Yeah, it's like.
Just not here.
Well, Chris, you live in Florida.
I know.
Yeah, it just totally avoids South Georgia and Florida. That's like putting it on.
Like, we can't handle that shit.
We've moved now to purple instead of a very, very dark, scary blue.
That's nice. So,
yeah. Mm hmm. Okay, cool. So we'll be stranded, but and no electricity. We don't get to even play in the snow. We just hang out. Anyway, so we're drinking our drinks. So I have wine. Chris,
you have wine.
What do you have?
I have an old fashioned.
That feels like a very appropriate drink for a snow in that you don't
have. I was like, I mean, it snows in Colorado. Obviously, it snows in Colorado like frequently, but we get like a big blizzard.
Is that where you're from?
Like once a year. And I was like, what would I drink during a big blizzard? Mm-hmm. And most of the time I get really antsy when it's a real big blizzard and I end up trekking to somewhere. And so I was like, the only open bars would have old fashions. So that's what I went with. I inherited my dad's like inability. Like whenever it snows a ton, my dad has to leave the house and go like drive around. And I inherited that. So whenever it would blizzard, I'd be like, we have to go somewhere. And everyone was like, Chrissy, it's blizzard. Everything is closed. And I'd be like, no, we have to leave the house. We have to do things. I need to see the world. I get really adventurous when it's a big snow. So
we do that during, like I said, the hurricanes when Florence was supposed to kill everybody. I was at a taco place down the road. I just walked to a taco and all the lights went out. And it was quite bad, to be fair. It was not a great, I wouldn't recommend this to anybody, but the lights went out. And so they had candles up in this taco place and the pulley, the beer stuff wasn't working. So I just got real liquored up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't recommend
going in a hurricane
during a blizzard either. It's not great.
Yeah, no, don't. We don't like, recommend you. Stay at home. Stay at home.
That's what I do. Anyway,
I just never think it's gonna, my issue is that I'd never think anything is gonna be as bad as it actually is. Like I sort of lean into that. Like I never think like we're pretty trained on like tornadoes and hurricanes down here, and I never, like when they say a hurricane, I am actually scared of tornadoes. That's tornadoes are scary. Hurricanes though, it's just like, gosh, it's you'll know like 2 weeks ahead of time if they even think one is going to be coming. And it just is like this incredible dramatic. I wonder how much meteorologists get paid to make things sound really dramatic. I want to get paid to go on to be a counter to the meteorologists so I can just...
The meteorologist here is very level-headed. He's very like, this is... He doesn't do the drama stuff. His name is Dennis Phillips. I'm shouting him out because he's great. He's very level-headed about weather. He's super helpful with the hurricanes. Like, he does a really good job of not being like the ones who are crazy. My friend Matthew Kruger was a weatherman for many years, and he also was very level-headed about stuff, but it was Colorado, so it was...
Are hurricanes sort of like being stalked by Jason? Like, you can...
Yeah.
You just... Yeah.
You're just so stressed. You're just like, my house may or may not be here in a...
I was saying he's very slow moving, so as long as
you... Yeah, but it's like, you have like a week to be like,
yeah,
maybe I need to worry, maybe I don't. I don't know. Yeah, slow, and it's stressful.
Moving forward, and you'll be fine. And then, I don't know, I think like tornadoes are like Freddy. They just show up and start stabbing you. And you're like, oh God, where did you come from? And you're falling asleep.
Yep.
So anyway, today we thought we would talk about snow. Just kidding. Today we
thought... I was like, now, really, we do have a topic.
Disaster conversation. Where is God in the midst of ice storms? Which is a theological question. It's not the one we'll be tackling. So we've had a lot of stuff going on. It's interesting because I did a conference after George Floyd called Theocon. Actually, it was Sarah Lane Ritchie and Trip Fuller put it on a beer camp fame. And I remember there was riots in Charlotte. So there was like a helicopter circling the whole time I was doing, because it was, of course, online, because that's where we were at that stage. And it was just the whole time I was like, I'm sorry, there's like riots happening. And so now I feel like we're doing this in the midst of Renee Good being murdered by ICE. And it just felt like the time to talk about resistance and what it means to theologically resist, and if there's even a way to do that. I had a professor, a New Testament professor, Tom Slater, who wrote a book called... I need to get the actual title, but it was about... he's a Revelation scholar. Mm-hmm. And I'm about to yell at Stuart to turn the TV down. Stuart!
I can't hear it.
Okay. Resistance.
Stuart!
Stuart! Revelation is civil disobedience. This is what marriage is like, guys, if you want to know. You're about to hear it. Stuart, can you turn the TV down? Podcasting.
Phenomenal.
And that's what you say instead of I love you. You say, can you turn the TV down? I'm podcasting. That's how you know you're 43. So Revelation as Civil Disobedience is the name of the book. And he talked about this idea that people thought Revelation is this really intense, violent book, essentially, of the Bible, but actually that it has a very specific way that it's telling Christians to resist, and that violence is not actually a part of it, which I think is a very interesting take. But I will say it's also hard in the midst of watching all of this, you know, to feel as though passive resistance is the way, you know.
Yeah.
I have a temper, and clearly, and it just makes me mad.
I do feel like there have to be multiple strains of resistance. You know, resistance can't always look exactly the same in every moment. Like, in certain times, certain types of resistance are going to be more effective than other types of resistance. And certainly I think that, like, being cognizant that we should not, like, default to violence is important. I mean, this is what Jesus taught us, turn the other cheek and all that. But simultaneously, like, you can't say that means that we don't, like, do anything, or that it's just simple kind of, you know, sitting and letting violence be enacted upon other people. So, like, how do we define what all of that looks like, I think is an important thing to think about with resistance. Like, you know, if I see, like, I have been, I don't know how if you've seen, but the pictures of the little 5-year-old Liam Ramos who was kidnapped and used as bait. And like, I just, it's, it, you know how sometimes images just kind of like stick into you, and like, obviously so much that ICE is doing, especially in Minnesota right now, is horrific. But like that little boy's face with that little bunny hat he has on.
Oh my God.
I just feel so like, I don't even have words. The rage that someone could steal that little boy and use him and to treat him like that is just so evil, you know? And so like, yeah, I also want to enact violence on those people. And I don't necessarily think like this, I'm not going to like lean into that, but you know, how do we recognize what mode of resistance is appropriate in what moment?
And it almost feels as though you liked this post as well. I saw that you liked it. I'm not surprised because I also liked it, but it was this idea of like, people keep saying America's turned into Nazi Germany, but in fact, it's just kind of always been this way. It hasn't been so publicly on the news and where it didn't affect the community that we are a part of.
Yeah.
And I think for me, it is one of those things where people are like, well, you know, the Christian thing is to do this sort of, you know, we just celebrated Martin Luther King Day and this idea of, you know, not passive resistance, but resistance, non-violent resistance. And it does get to a point sometimes where you feel as though, while in my brain, I think that is correct. It is like, yeah, but if we do that, then is that really going to do anything?
Yeah, like, I mean,
that boy, like, I don't know that it is.
And like, I'm going to tell you right now that if that little boy had been near me and somebody tried to take him, like, I would probably have done something, you know, like, I mean, not that nobody, I know that the people who were there at the time tried to do things. I'm not trying to like disparage what happened. But like to hit somebody or to punch a Nazi feels like the right thing to do, you know? I also think too, like when you're studying and it's been a minute since I really looked into the specifics of it, but studying like King's nonviolence wasn't the kind of just sit and let them beat you nonviolence that we tend to think of it. You know, it was to place your body in a position to enact power in certain ways, you know, like sitting, the women who sat on the bus, both Rosa Parks and the one before her, whose name I at the moment.
The first sit-in at a counter happened in Greensboro, North Carolina.
The sit-in at the counter, like that's not it's not a violent protest, but it is placing your body in a place where you know violence is probably going to happen to you and you're accepting some of that. But it's also in order to protect that violence from happening to other people, you know, and to say like, I am going to participate in a physical protest, you know, like this is not tweeting or like yelling on Facebook or whatever. This is a physical act of protest that I'm participating in. I think we have to be like aware of what is appropriate, you know, what situations call for what kinds of protests, what kinds of resistance
So I wrote my dissertation on peace building as well and resistance in a way. But my sort of contribution to knowledge was I did this little chart that said, you know, you can't have, it was like a four bubbles. So it was forgiveness and repentance and truth and justice. And the idea was, is that you needed all of those to happen in order to have reconciliation. And so, you know, one of the things that I argue in that book, but also in my dissertation, is that in Northern Ireland, they kept asking people to just repent and forgive. And that became equated to reconciliation as opposed to demanding justice and demanding truth, which was more uncomfortable. And so I think to me, I think about that as a guide in the sense of, in what ways are we not violent, but in what ways are we demanding justice? And when I see that little boy, I'm like, and also all of that too, but I'm also like, what have we become that we become desensitized to seeing that little kid in a bunny hat And we're just like, you know, and people are like, well, just leave. Like, you're married to a Scotsman. Leave. I mean, that's fine. But if you leave things, this is why I stayed in the church, even when I was really hurt by it, is because you can't change things if you leave, you know,
yeah.
And you can wish all that you want that, you know, and the numbers or whatever, that mainline Protestantism is going downhill. And I've seen all this stuff about the nuns and people who are not religious anymore, and all that's fine. But, you know, I took up the sort of arms, if you will, to be within the church and to, you know, be a good force within that. And so I think it does feel desperate in this situation of how can we be a good force in the midst of such corruption? You know, like, I don't, and where have we gone? Because it just feels like maybe we're gaining people more than I think, and we're just not being very loud about it. I don't know. Like, it's just,
I do feel like if you look at the numbers and you know, the people who post all of the statistics about polls and stuff like that, the amount of Americans who are against what's happening is greater than the number that are okay with it. And the number of Americans who are upset about, you know, a variety of the things going on right now, wanting the Epstein files to be released or wanting us to not invade Greenland, which, thank God, seems to have been quelled by...
Put a shiny thing in front of his face and he...
Dear God, like, the European...
Or Iceland, we don't know which one it is, because now he can't remember if it's Greenland or Iceland either.
Iceland, Greenland, who knows? But, you know, like, it just feels like there's been thing after thing. And the majority of the country is upset about this. It's just, what do we do, and how do we know what to do, and how do we kind of do it in ways that is productive instead of, again, I think some amount of social media. Obviously, I learn a lot of things from social media, and I think that it's helpful to have those aspects, and so I'm grateful. But, like, me yelling at my, you know, 200 friends on Instagram is going to do very little.
Oh, 100. 100.
You know, so, like, what is it that I do instead? And, you know, there are things that we are all capable of doing in the place that we're in and with the specific tools that we have. It does mean we have to stop being comfortable all the time. Like, some of this is really uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But, like, I think that there's also stuff that's so much simpler than we think that the only thing you can do is to go, like, fly to Minnesota and be part of the protests, right? And, like, that's the thing that we have to do. And if we're not doing that, we're not doing anything. And I don't think that it's that intense all of the time. I think there's a lot of stuff we have to do in our community. One of the things that's been really kind of pressed upon me, I guess, like, in the evangelical language, been on my heart. you know, like,
warmed your heart, though? Are you Wesleyan as well?
My heart has been strangely warmed. Strangely warmed by just thinking about the fact that community is so essential, and not just community in, like, easy ways. Like, it's very easy for us to hang out with the, like, three people we always hang out with or whatever, you know, like, but, like, building communities in your neighborhood, getting to know your neighbors, looking out for your neighbors, like, right now, especially. I mean, you went through this recently with ICE being in Charlotte.
I'm back, apparently, word on the street.
I know that they're here in Central Florida at the moment. And so there's a lot, like, having whistles or having a plan in your head. I tell my students this a lot. Like, if you just expect that in the big moments, you're just going to suddenly show up, you're not going to. Like, you have to practice showing up in little things, you know? And so, like, making plans or doing little things, making sure that you're ready and that you've become a person who's gonna show up, you know?
And know your rights, but also know that, much like, you know,
Renee,
is that, yeah, your rights may not be respected, because while you know your rights, these people may not, because they're not trained professionals in the way that we would hope people who protect are.
Yeah.
And so you have to be aware of that too. The very strong word on the street is, they're coming to Charlotte again. And I worry for my friends and family. Like, I really do.
I do too. Yeah. I have.
People are mad. This is a very blue city. It's why they're coming back. And people are pissed off about this whole thing. And it was bad here before, but like people are really, really mad now. And I'm concerned because anger doesn't always instill good responses, even if they seem good at the time. Because yeah. That's the other thing is you got to know your, I'll say it, know your enemy, you know, and yeah. You got to know what they're doing. And
absolutely. You know,
the thing that happened with good is really trying to scare people. I don't think any of this is Christian. Of this is even stealing kids is not Christian. None of this is that. And so while they may try to clothe it in this language, that is not what's happening here. And so I think if you feel called to, you know, to resist in that way, you do have to, you have to be careful. Like, I think it would be amiss if we didn't.
I think
careful, you know,
be aware, you know, there's a lot of information out there about things to do and ways to stay safe in situations and things, and like, be thoughtful, be aware, be careful. I want to read a tweet that I saw, not a tweet, because that doesn't exist anymore. It's on Blue Sky.
Sure it does. In my heart, Christy, it still exists.
I don't know. It's a Blue Sky tweet.
It's a sky.
It's a sky note. I don't know what the actual, yeah. It's this woman I follow, Shaylee Patel. She's also an academic, and she said, and this was ages ago. I took a screenshot of this ages ago because I was really, like, again, I thought that it was really good. She says, just want to say again that empathy is resistance. It requires bracketing everything this world has taught us to value, hierarchies of wealth, status, power, etc., and meeting others as humans first. This is why it's also a practice, not an attribute. You can train yourself to bracket thusly. And I was like, this is exactly it, is because like, if you have empathy, which you develop, you don't just naturally have empathy. Like, we have natural empathy in some respects, but we don't have natural empathy for people we don't know or for people who we've never encountered. Like, that's not how our kind of instincts work, but you can develop it, and we should be practicing that development of it, and then act out of that, you know, like, behave out of the empathy that you have. So again, it doesn't mean trying to center yourself and be like, I'm going to go save the world because I'm a white person, you know, and I can
stay
whatever, you know, or it also doesn't mean like putting yourself in stupid situations. Like,
yeah. And I think too, seeing people, like, you can feel a certain way about ICE and the people who are doing this. Like, I personally think that they are, I don't know that I would say evil, because I'm not sure that that is what I feel. I think that they are incredibly ill-informed and not well understanding. I think what they think they're doing is not what they're doing, and as a result it makes them act in ways that are what could be seen as evil. And I actually do agree with that. I think the actions are evil.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah,
100%. Like, the shooting and the kidnapping and the all of that is evil actions. And but I'm not sure about the humans themselves. But I do think that you know, part of the civil rights movement that I think was so effective is that, you know, King was able to talk to people. And I think that, I'm not saying that you have to like these people. I don't like them right now at all. Hate is a word. hate Bronco. Horse
hat.
But I think that you can do that. But I think you can also, you know, and I'm not saying try to talk to them, because we've seen what that does as well. But, you know, they already feel as though everyone is against them and is angry at them, which I would say people are if they have eyes and brains. You know, how you respond if confronted with these people is kind of what you're saying, Christy, is that you can be prepared. You know, you can do things, and you can know what your rights are, and you don't have to necessarily scream like, I hate you, at them, because they already think that. So, you know, if in some ways you can surprise them but still resist, I think that that is a real key. And I'm, like I said, I'm not sure. I've not been confronted with this yet. I say yet. But, you know, I would want to be like, what are you doing?
I absolutely think, yeah, like I think that there's, we talked about this at Beer Camp with our humor panel. There's ridicule protest, which I think has been continuously effective. Our friend Bren sent us that video of the woman who was singing like, "Oh, you're a big man." Oh, and he was just like becoming enraged.
That's what, like, I mean about surprising people.
Like, yeah, like what you think. Making fun of them is appropriate, though dangerous. That is a dangerous thing to do. That's the other thing I will say. It's like a lot of these things are very dangerous because they are violent people.
Yeah, that Good's would wife was sort of mocking the guy before she got shot, and it seemed.
It seems like he shot her because he was being made fun of by a woman.
He was mad. Yeah.
Yeah. And especially, I think women are very, very aware of this. We know not to make fun of men. Like, I don't know how many times I have pretended that I thought a guy was funny or normal just so I could get away from him.
100%.
You know, because I knew that the alternative was more dangerous. So, like, it's those kinds of things where we have to weigh, you know, what stuff am I willing and capable of doing? What's the best situation, or what's the best action in this situation? And being thoughtful about too, like, yeah, what is it that I can do that can be backed by my rights? We do still have them. They do still legally exist. And for the time being, I think it's important for us to keep that in mind. You know, like.
And it's hard though, because all this advice for giving is not what you do in a split moment though, you know?
No, you have. Well, and like I said, you know, you have to kind of have a game plan in your head. Like, because what am I going to do in that moment? Probably not the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Like, no. Same. You know, don't get mad. Sure, Leah, you get mad. You just yelled at Stuart to turn the TV down. Like, what do you mean? Of course I'm going to get mad.
Yeah. I mean, I'm gonna get mad. I don't know. But like.
We can hope for a world that is not this one. And I wake up each day, and it's not being like passive or saying that I'm not engaged. It's just saying I really, because what else do we have at this stage? I mean, we have to hope for a different world, because this one is so corrupt.
We have to actively hope for it, like actively hope and actively work with that hope, because like that, I do actually believe genuinely that more people, and again, this isn't just because I've seen the statistics. I keep thinking of Schmidt when I say statistics. Are you the criminals from the statistics? Yeah. it's not just that I've seen those things. It's also that, like, I mean, I know people, you know, like, I know deep down that people also see that tiny boy with that tiny bunny hat on and recognize what is wrong about this, you know? But like, you have to be able to lean into your empathy and say, like, this is wrong, and I don't care about the price of eggs anymore. Or
it's not even helping, so it doesn't matter.
You know, it's not even helping. It doesn't matter. Your eggs are still expensive. But like, recognizing that we have to take action, you know, like, look at any book you've read about something happening, Hunger Games, I don't know, Harry Potter, like any books. I'm just listing young adult books at this stage, but like.
Divergent.
Divergent. What actually happens is that people stand up against this stuff, you know, and people say, like, I'm willing to say that this is wrong and to behave in ways that fight against becoming negative or cynical or anything. Like, there's something
it's getting increasingly hard to justify what's happening with that. Yeah.
And this is not necessarily just to plug our banned books club, but this is also a really important thing to do. It's like, read books. They can be not banned if you're weird, but like, books are like known to help you understand, build empathy, all of that. Like, fiction books are helpful in helping you think about, like, what would I do in these situations? How am I?
Redcatcher and the Rye and Holden Caulfield would definitely be an ice.
Holden Caulfield would for sure be an ice.
For sure, like, be an
don't
ice.
Don't be Holden Caulfield. That's
I'm not sure that I've ever felt anything so strongly as that he would be an ice member.
That whole we read, yeah, Catcher in the Rye was our last book, and I do remember a moment when I thought, oh, so incels have been around for a while. Yeah. Because
a whole book about a guy.
Everybody's a pony.
For a really long amount of time.
Had about everything. But like, you know, even in that, it's like you can read through that and be like, well, I don't want to be this kid. I don't want to be this way. You know, I don't want to be angry at everything in the world. I don't want to hate tiny little boys in bunny hats. Like,
that's so depressing.
I don't want to hate that old man who got pulled out of his house with no clothes. Like, you know,
they want you to be scared. Like they yeah. want, that's how power is kept, through fear. We see that in these dystopian books. I was just on Systematic Geekology last night with Christian, and we were talking about this show called Fallout, which I hadn't seen, but it's very much about this sort of resistance and how you need, you know, we tied it to theology in a way, which is you need kind of a group of people, or at least a couple people, to, you know, to continuously sort of like, not continuously, but to like build you up, and to yeah. like Jesus and the 12 and all of that. Like, you need a band of folks. And there is power in numbers, I will say. Yeah. I mean, there is that. So if you do decide to go out and do something, I would suggest bringing your merry band of resistors with you.
I also want to say on that note that we are not reinventing the wheel here. Like, there are loads and loads of people who've been doing this for a long time. Because like you mentioned before, this isn't new. This isn't, I mean, none of this is new. I saw a video that said that we shouldn't compare ICE to the Gestapo because we should be comparing them to the slave catchers. And it was, you know, this is accurate. It is very much like what happened with the people who went out to try to catch the escaped enslaved people. So like, we aren't the first ones to do this or to talk about this. And so there are plenty of ways to find out, and there are plenty of groups to join. You don't have to like start a group. There's already one in your community. You know, there are already people doing this, and they know more, and they're experienced, and they've got support. And so like, go find them, you know, go join that. Go read resistance specific theologies, like, the one you mentioned,
Tom Slater
and, or Kelly Brown Douglas has several books about this. You can read MLK.
Black theologians and womanist theologians. Feminist theologians and queer theologians. That group, I would say, is a group to read for sure.
Liberation theology has a ton of stuff out there, and they're very specific about what you should and shouldn't do, like how to survive, you know, how to get through it, and like also how to not burn out. Cause I know a lot of activists who have burned out really quickly because they thought any kind of joy was inappropriate, and that, you know, 24/7, you just have to be mad. And I was like, that's wrong. So find the joy and experience those things too.
Turning off your brain, as Leah did when she texted Christy, is not always a bad thing. It is
not always a bad thing.
It's a coping mechanism for the overwhelmingness of the other job.
I mean, honestly, rest is important, you know. Like, rest is,
if you have the luxury of these things, do them, because you're fighting for those who do not. And I think that is really important. And also, I do think, like, you know, have people around you that are grounded and that can lift you up when you're feeling down. And also, you know, because you'll need that. Like, this is going to be a journey. This is not a shortcut. Like, I want all of this to be fixed by the midterms, but like, I think this is something we're going to be working at for quite some time.
I mean, honestly, like, way past the like actual lifespan of certain orange people, like, because that's just a tiny part of this. This is a much deeper, long-standing problem that we have in this country. So like, it's gonna be years, but it's still gonna get better. I really believe that it's gonna get better.
Gotta live in hope, I think. But also, it's not just hope that things will get better. It's hope that I have, this is my hope, is that humans, the humans are watching this and that they're being affected. And if they're not, then I'm not sure what I can say anymore about humans.
Yeah. I mean, I
might go buy that lighthouse out in Scotland if they don't. But
I do think that humanity is better than the dredges of it. Like, there's, as a whole, we just need to remember that, like, loving your neighbor, caring for your neighbor, like Jesus said, you know, whatever you do to the least of these, you do to me. Like, mm-hmm. do that. Behave towards people like you would behave towards Jesus.
Yep. I know that there might be consequences. I mean, if we take the life of Jesus, you know, Jesus flipped tables. Jesus also talked to people that were considered not very nice. And I think both are appropriate in certain circumstances, but also know that sadly, this life that we live in, unfortunately, is not meant for these revolutionaries. I mean, it, you know, and it's not saying that you are one of those. It's just saying that what you're doing is counter to a lot of stuff that is going on right now.
And yeah.
That is why it's called resistance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chris and I will be out there fighting the good fight in the ways that we can.
Yep. Yep. As we,
and we will persevere. We will get through this.
We will. I believe that. I do too. I have genuine hope and love. And you know, I see things that make me feel hopeful. I see things that make me feel like, okay, there's a step, you know. So look for those things. Mr. Rogers, look for the helpers, you know.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Look for
and
the
also joy. Find take a time out and write your friend a real weird text or listen to the format, because Christy, if you guys haven't heard, they have an album out.
Apparently. They have a new album out today. Happy Format Album Day. It's the first album in 20 years. But see, this is the thing. Like, I did not have hope anymore that I would get more format music. And yet, I did.
Yeah, here we are, just blessed and highly favored.
Blessed and highly favored.
There's one person that supports the Broncos in Charlotte. She is
that one person with his staple hat.
She's living that dream.
Your besties just by.
Whilst I do rag Christy endlessly, if she had been able to see my face when I saw that Broncos hat and the joy that it brought to me.
Oh, I'm sure. I believe you. I believe.
And the haste to which I texted you about said hate.
Hate hat. Broncos.
Of course.
Lord, it was so funny. Just the highlight of my night, honestly. I was dying laughing.
And I was like, oh yeah, that sucks.
It was so good. But you know what? I mean, we're here. We'll be here.
Come join our book group. It'll be fun. We have such a, I almost felt like it was like a therapy session.
Yeah.
I know that book is dire.
That book is dire. Like, honestly, and this is what I was saying earlier about community. Like, I know that it's like we're reading these books and we're taking time out of our schedules and stuff. And like occasionally I'll be like, oh, you know, oh crap, I've got to read the book real quick. Or, but every time I walk away from book group, I walk away with just this like renewed, like it's a boost. It's such a boost to be in that group.
Yeah.
Like it really is great. So
we're reading Toni Morrison's The Bluest Eye
For February. I haven't either. I don't think any of us have. So it'll be a new one for us again. It'll be so fun to read about insects. Super excited about it. No, it'll be so good.
Fun is the right word, but it'll be insightful. So far, I'm not sure in our band book group that we have read a fun book necessarily.
No, not a one of them. Not a one. You know what I thought?
Pressure in the Rye is not a fun book.
The closest to fun I think that we read was
All Boys Aren't Blue.
Yes, thank you. I was like the blue boy one. All Boys Aren't Blue. Yep. I thought that was the closest one. And you know what? Talk about a book that gives you hope.
There you go. That's what. Yeah, like that one was hopeful. It was rough, but it
book. It was rough, but it was so hopeful. And I really appreciate that. So, yeah.
But even if you do, and this is maybe a thing too, if you do read these dystopian novels, like, you know, whether it's Hunger Games, whether it's Divergent or whatever, or fill in the blank, Handmaid's Tale. Even Handmaid's Tale, if you remember Atwood's original novel, you know, it ends on a note that is ambiguous, but could be seen as hopeful.
Well, it ends telling you that it ended. Gilead was done. Like
the postscript, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying the end of them.
Yeah. No, but
yeah.
Like the
postscript, yeah. They're teaching it in history. Yeah.
They're clearly saying like this is like we're learning from the past. You know, I think that's something that we need to be good at. We need to get better at is learning from our past. Really looking at what happened, understanding what caused people to feel those ways and what caused stuff to get bad, because we need to know what caused this too. I mean, we kind of do, but.
And also I'm in my new book, I'm starting to look at the UK and to know that we're not alone in a good way. But that being said, what does that say about the human tendencies, I guess is what I was going to say.
Yeah.
But there's always resistors. Be Katniss.
Be Katniss.
Knows, be a Katniss.
Be a Katniss. Yep. Be a Billy Joe Armstrong.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
I can't wait for the Super Bowl. All right.
For
the Super Bowl.
It's gonna be... For those horses.
For those horses.
All right. Guys, we almost made it the whole time and didn't talk about sports. So. Later.
Bye, y'all. Yeah.